disgusting. I'll never look at that countertop the same way again.
It makes sense, though.
It really does. I'm sorry, Jim. I don't mean to laugh.
People gross me out.
People revolt me. You know, the worst part about this, we were talking about how Tim's...
Why would that person be sitting here on the floor? What is that person's function?
We're talking about how Tim's news area over there, the news department's desk. The news desk, every Monday morning, is covered with grease. The keyboard, the mouse, the desk itself, the chair. Microphone, probably, all covered in grease. And we were just, during the break, it was just confirmed to us the identity of the person who's leaving that grease behind, a person we will not identify in the air. But it was confirmed to us by a third party during this last commercial break, whose grease that is that covers Tim's. And the worst part about this, and I really do, you have my sympathy for this, Tim, that
doesn't do any good.
I know it's worthless.
It really is.
I know my sympathy is worth the paper it's printed on, but I'll look how I dispense it anyway. The worst part is that, you know, whatever, you worked at Fisher, and then you worked at Entercom, and then you were in the, you know, God love them, it was a functional studio, but that very small kind of rat hole production closet we were in over at Coin. Now you're here, a brand new studio, brand new microphone, brand new computer you've got there, brand new desk, everything in the studio, right out of the box. And when you think, you finally left all the filth behind, and then now that person is using your desk and your computer just hours in front of you, every Monday morning. And so now it's just covered in filth. I'm not trying to mock your situation, I'm just saying, what a cruel and ironic twist of fate. Disgusting.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Makes me want to give myself a good scrubbing. Now. Okay, so a whole bunch of people protesting, and not just hippies this time. There's some regular people. I watched all the newsreels on the television over the weekend. There are moms and dads and co-headed youngsters out there. Everyone was participating. The Portland protest went to several around the country, and I don't know how they count people, but this figure says 15,000.
All told, everywhere?
Well, here.
Oh, here.
No, I would think nationwide there'd be more than 15,000 people.
Yeah, I mean, who's to say?
There are families, students, even women, and old people, too.
Even women, yes.
Even women.
Even women who were allowed to leave their homes to go protest.
That's true. As the march along the 24 blocks ended, yes, a group of youngsters on bicycles led police on horses through downtown. See, they were chasing these kids on horses. That's what the horses are for. Some of the protesters wore black and called themselves anarchists. Okay. Mm-hmm. They don't even know what that is.
Right? Whatever, friend. Mm-hmm.
And some were the greed of the University of Oregon, so they're capable of problems, too. A few scuffles broke out. Police used pepper spray at one point, and several people were led away in plastic cuffs.
The when we were going downtown to see the movie yesterday, we're going through downtown, and of course, there's that moment of like, well, why are all these people? And then there's the sinking realization. You kind of go, oh, God damn, there's the stupid protest. And I know that protesting is an American right, and tradition and blah 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 and whatever, you know, but I mean, come on, there comes a point when you just have to admit that what you're doing is futile and stupid. And so we're driving through, and the most freaky sight yesterday to me was like a big cop truck rolling through an intersection. It was one of those things where, like, the SWAT team guys were hanging off the back of it like ants, you know what I mean? It was sort of like, you know how your garbage man hangs off the side of the garbage truck? Mm-hmm. There was like one of those cop, what, like a flatbed truck almost, kind of rolling through an intersection with the SWAT team guys lining either side of it. It's like 30 of them. And you just know they're going to, like, bust heads somewhere. And then, sadly, that didn't happen either. I was at least hoping to see, like, when we...
It'd be great if they were playing the theme from SWAT.
Totally.
From loudspeakers from the side of this truck.
A Quinn Martin production. And then the parade was happening as we went to the movie. And then when we got out of the movie, the protesters were then gathered in front of, I think, the courthouse...
And then there was that whole thing where the line of SWAT teams with the plastic shields and the batons are standing on the courthouse steps, I guess to keep the protesters from, like, rushing into the courthouse or whatever. And at that point, I'm always hoping that there's going to be some huge clash. I've never been in the middle of a riot. I've never seen a riot. I've never gotten to report
a riot. We were in the middle of a riot. Once downtown, you had one part of downtown, I had the other part, and we were reporting on a riot next to the Hawthorne Bridge. There were people riding in the streets. We were both there several years ago.
Now, is this the same... Oh, I remember that.
Was
I do remember
Saturday?
That.
No. We were on the air.
Now, was this... I'm confusing two different things in my head, I think. Or conflating, as I now say all the time. I think maybe I'm confusing two different events. There was an event when that first huge anti-war protest happened about 4 years ago. And I was down by the fountain in the park. And there was a pro-war, I was covering the pro-war idiots, and then the anti-war idiots were right across, because the cops had done everything they could to keep them, the two groups on separate parts of the city, yeah. But it's like, you can't hold back 40,000 people. And so at a certain point, there was like 40,000 anti-war people, and then the pro-war people were about 30 feet away, and there was just a line of cops between the two. And I was just, I remember standing on top of that rock downtown, or that statue thing, with Jess, who was our intern at the time, standing there, broadcasting live to the station, just praying, just hoping, rooting with everything in me that violence would erupt. And then it didn't, sadly. It just sort of dissipated. The thing you're talking about, I do remember, but I can't remember. Was it a war thing?
No, it had to be a war thing.
It had to be, or a critical mass thing.
Then at one point, you moved, and I moved down to the Hawthorne Bridge, and all hell broke loose in front of the Hawthorne Bridge, right in the middle of the street.
I do remember that. I do remember that. It's a separate event. I do remember that because it was all over the news, and it was all over the national news, actually, all that night.
That was fun.
And then there was, a bunch of bicycling idiots blocking the bridge and so forth.
And then we wrap up the whole evening with somebody smashing the window at McDonald's. Big deal.
Yeah. I do remember. Those were good times. All right. Well, then, that's what I'm saying. At least they can do is make it interesting for us. All right.
Well, anyway, there's a whole bunch more stuff going on tonight. For instance, let me give you a warning before you're in that area tonight. At 6:30, it's the Hawthorne Bridge for Peace March. They're going to be on the sidewalk. Of course, they're going to spill all off the sidewalk, into the road more than likely. A sidewalk march. The same place that we were for the Devil in Hawthorne. Remember, they're going to redo that whole scene again, but this is for peace. So they're stealing our idea, but this time only for peace.
So who's doing what?
People, they want people on the Hawthorne Bridge on both sides.
Oh, so they're pulling like a horns across the Hawthorne thing?
Exactly.
I'm sorry, I was being distracted by this email saying that I'm retarded. I shouldn't be allowed to speak, but I shouldn't have a show. Just add that to the pile. All right, let's back up for a second. Who's stealing what of ours? It's hard to keep track of who steals what from us.
Well, the Hawthorne Bridge thing. Somebody's going to do it tonight, but it's for peace instead of the devil.
Are they all going to do Are they all going to do the peace sign?
More than likely.
Oh, come on.
But they're going to march on the sidewalk from Pioneer Square to the Hawthorne Bridge at 6:30.
And are they going to line the bridge?
It doesn't say. Nobody's going to follow instructions. It's not like we're putting this on with this order that we have, a team there making people sign release forms. If we were doing this, there'd be some order to it.
No, seriously. I swear to God, if a bunch of stinking godless hippies line the Hawthorne Bridge and you all give the peace symbol at the same time, I swear to God, I will come by with my car and I will kill every one of you. I will run all of you down. I don't care if I have to go to jail to do it. I swear to God, I'll come by and I will grind you all into a paste.
Well, this sounds like...
And I'll bring my truck, too. I'm not going to bring some fuel-efficient Ford Focus. I'll do it with my truck. I'm sorry, go ahead.
This one even sounds better. Vigil for Rebels... with a Z, against war, at 39th and Hawthorne tonight at 9.
The Rebels against war?
With a Z.
That's the Hot Topic rally.
And 4 as the numeral 4.
See what I mean? About protest? I mean, I am proud to say, by the way, that we were against this retarded war from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. We were against this idiotic, stupid war 4 years ago. We weren't like with the other, whatever, that 92% of the... Do you find that insane? I was talking to Laura about this last night.
And then we'd have meetings with Bruce, who was like here with Al Murrow and Bill Haley, the head of CBS. Do you know what you guys are doing? 93% of the people are against this war.
Oh, I know.
No, war this war, and you are not. But we didn't. And Bruce never asked us to change our opinion.
God bless him, Bruce Agler,
our fired us.
Godlike program director of KOTK, and who shaped the Rick Emerson Show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do remember we would have those meetings, and you, to be fair, yeah, he never told us to change. Right. Never told us to. Told
I
us
hope you know all the trouble you're causing me.
But That's what it was.
I remember, Boris. I hope you know all the trouble you
had. We forget, and again, I would be very clear about this, the Bruce Agler, who was the man, anything good you hear on the Rick Emerson Show, he created. Any good thing we do, any talent that I have, Bruce Agler is responsible for.
I'm for you today, and I will be tomorrow.
Oh, that's a different...
I'm with you today, and I'll be with you tomorrow.
Says Frank Langella. But we would sit in these meetings after the show with Bruce, and these are the early days of the Iraq War, which, again, this, and I think I can say this show.
Well, you knew people were fools even back then.
But certainly Tim and I, and I think Sarah, were all, from the very beginning we knew this was a retarded idea. So even when 94% of this retarded friggin' country was for the war, we knew that it was dumb. And so we would have these meetings with Bruce. It was like, you know, you're really flying in the face of public. You know, you're going there every day and you're banging on the war. And, you know, everybody disagrees with you. So I hope you... And he never told us not to say it.
Right.
He never told us to change our opinion. But he did inform us that it was causing him all kinds of grief and problems that we were so rabidly anti-war. So I'm proud to say that we were against the war from the very beginning. That having been said, do you guys all see what I'm talking about? The more we talk about these the protesters, it just fills me with rage. I don't know why the protesters make me so angry. They shouldn't, but they do. There's really no justification for it. I can't really explain it at all. They just do. But don't you wonder what happened to the 94% of the country that was in favor of the war?
Yeah.
Where did they go? I think if you were in favor of the war 4 years ago, I think you ought to be contractually obligated to wear a sign saying that you were in favor of it. I think you ought to have to walk around with it. You know, it's like in Iran, you have to walk around with a sign saying, I stole. I think you ought to have to walk around today with a sign saying, I was in favor of this stupid war 4 years ago. I liked it. I would like an honest showing of hands. Who thought it was a really dandy idea back in 2003? Jesus, God, all right.
And attention, Scotty. These peace protesters are entering your land. There's going to be a peace vigil tonight across from the Beaverton Library at 6:30. And to make matters even worse, the fancy Bridgeport Village, have you been shopping there? It's a fancy, fancy place to shop. Well, they're having an Iraq anniversary vigil at the Center Gazebo at Bridgeport Village.
It's going to be looted and burned. Get your high-priced consumer goods now, Scotty. They're going to be gone.
All right.
503-733-2970. Let's see. Rick, 15,000 protested the war downtown. Average attendance of a Blazers game, 17,500.
All right. Thank you.
I like to think that we're helping with the apathy and cynicism.
It's 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley.
So here we are. The U.S.-led invasion of Iraq started on this day some 4 years ago.
I thought that'd be a lot more exciting.
It's only some cats knocking over a trash can.
I'm serious.
That was shock and awe.
It's a guy kicking. Someone gets a kick the can game happening down the street.
So U.S. officials initially said the early morning attack was aimed at elements of the Iraqi leadership, and then the president addressed the nation and the world.
Coalition forces carried out that mission with great courage and skill. Today the world is rid of Saddam Hussein, and a tyrant has been held to account for his crimes by his own people.
Meanwhile, Donald Trump checks in.
He said the war was going fantastically just a few months ago. I just know that they got us into a mess, the likes of which this country has probably never seen. It's one of the great catastrophes of all time. And perhaps even worse, the rest of the world hates us.
By the way, Scotty, this is your idol, Donald Trump. Is this the same interview where he calls Bush the worst president we've ever had?
Well, I think Bush is probably the worst president in the history of the United States.
And he doesn't spare Condoleezza Rice.
She's a McNeil's. She waves. She gets off the plane. She waves. She sits down with some dictator, 45-degree angle. They do the camera shot. She waves again. She gets back on the plane. She waves. No deal ever happens.
Yeah,
that's exactly what she does.
It's true. No, that's totally what she does.
There's not much to her job description, but that's what she does, and she does it well.
You can't
knock what she does.
Goes around, and she has a lot of lunches and so forth.
Friends?
She just goes shopping for new leather goods. Eugene, hello, sir.
Oh, hi, Rick. How are you?
I'm dandy. What's up?
Well, I'm listening to you. This is the first time I've ever heard your station. I'm usually on Air America. But I have to say, you know, you just...
You really ought to send them $5.
Well, maybe I should.
After listening to you, I probably should
bump that up to $25 or maybe $100.
Well, they could pay people then.
But really, I don't really want to take an aggressive sounding approach with you, but I just don't understand where you feel like you're a contribution to Portland, the radio listening audience, when you talk about running people down with your truck and your gas guzzling truck.
Yes.
And I just don't think that's supportive to the community. And secondly,
let me understand this. So I'm going to clarify these points one by one. So you don't believe that running people down is supporting the community?
Well,
I want to clarify this because there might have been a gray area there. Okay. Doesn't believe running people down is supporting community. Okay.
Fine. Any way you want to frame it, I think you know what I'm talking about.
No.
And secondly,
don't let that stop you.
I wanted to just comment on the illiteracy in D.C., and I think that if there is such an epidemic of it, illiteracy, that perhaps maybe some of that $100 billion going towards the war effort could be used to educate people to help them be more literate.
No, money doesn't help poor people.
No.
Anywhere.
No, this
I'll take the rest offline. Thanks very much, Rick.
Oh, yeah, whatever you do, don't stay for a response. Run like a girl.
No, I'm listening to your radio show. You can definitely respond
I was going to note that the administration's not going to help poor people regardless. Doesn't matter how. It doesn't matter whether we spend that money in the war or not. The Bush administration's not going to help poor people. Don't be retarded.
Okay. Well, then I think part of the reason is because probably it stems back to the Civil War when freedom was granted to the Afro-Americans. They probably all fled to what they thought.
Afro-Americans? You've been hanging out with Michael Richards?
They all fled to, you know, up north and probably thought that was the land of freedom at the time. And, you tell me why.
I'm sorry. I'm listening. I'm just waiting for you to finish.
I'm done. I'll take it offline. I'll listen to your show and you can give me your response there.
Yeah, I'll get right on that. All right, thanks.
Moving on. I think you ought to stop running over pedestrians.
Has Rick Emerson gone
too far? All right.
So. Perhaps that isn't in the public interest. Depending on what section of town, mind you.
Seriously. I love the idea that he felt he had to clarify that for me. All right. Yeah, all we got to do is stop the war and suddenly everybody in America will be literally a chicken in every pot. That's like when Schwarzenegger was running for governor of California. Everybody is going to have a great job. It's 503. Not going to happen. It's 503-733-2970. Kevin, and why? Never mind. Speaking of Bruce Agler, I'm not gonna talk about the caller after he's gone. Pointless. Kevin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Rick, I think the reason why war protesters in Portland annoy you so much,
mm-hmm.
it probably has to do with the fact that it's the easiest place you could possibly protest for anything liberal. Where's the opposition? Why don't you just grab a church directory and start calling people up and asking if you can tell them about Jesus? Where is the opposition? There is no guts in protesting for war in Portland. Go to Yacolt.
Well, that is a fair point. Really, if you want to take the issue to the people who need to hear it, you know, Jesus once said that one must go where the sinners are. You must take the light of the Lord to where the sinners dwell. And you're exactly right. In downtown Portland, standing up and saying that you're opposed to the war is... That's not really like Tom Joad courage that you're showing right there. You go do that in Battleground. You know what I mean?
You really are
right about that. So maybe that's why. Again, people can do whatever they want. It would be dishonest of me to say that they don't just irritate the hell out of me, because they do, and maybe they shouldn't. Maybe it's wrong that they do, but goddamn, the protesters bug the hell out of me. So, all right. Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. I wish Eugene would call back again. That guy was all kinds of fun. Maybe we can schedule a daily call from him. It's 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley.
So let's talk to Condoleezza Rice, shall we? There she is, helping off the plane with a big smile. and getting ready to meet some other dictator somewhere else. She tells us that invading Iraq was a very good move.
First of all, Saddam Hussein is gone. This is the man who terrorized his people and terrorized the region for decades, drew America into a war in 1991 when he invaded Kuwait and would have drawn the region into wars again.
And I thought we were the ones that do the war.
No, why do you hate America?
I'm going to be kicked out of the suburbs one of these days.
Seriously.
Rick, about, no, this is a guy asking me not to take any more Air America list. No, no, no. They're free to call.
They're up for grabs, pretty much. There will be shortly.
Really, I'm gonna...
And stop threatening to take it out the air. Take it out the air. They've been doing this for months now. It's still there.
Pretty soon the whole thing will just be out of Tom Hartman's basement. All right, let's see. Well, whatever. I just got more of these protest emails. I'll try to get through some of these. It's 503-733-2970. Sean, about running. Do I need to clarify that clearly I'm not actually going to run over? You couldn't run over everybody. I mean, 5, 10
people. Do you want to run over? If you attach a snowplow to the front of it.
Seriously, 5, 10?
We did it in Iraq. The first time we were there, we just plowed over their army.
I'd have to modify the truck somehow.
Then they dug them up and dusted them off and sent them back out again.
5, 10 people in, the protesters gum up your wheel wells.
All right.
Sean, hello, sir.
If you'd like to make a call,
oh, that's fine.
Please hang up and talk.
All right. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
That woman calls every day. Condoleezza Rice is...
Worst caller ever.
There are some reasons for invading Iraq.
Saddam Hussein did have weapons of mass destruction when we invaded Iraq, or when we invaded Kuwait in 1991. It was clear that he was continuing to pursue them. We don't know where he would have come out, but we do know that this was a bloody tyrant.
Continuing to pursue them doesn't mean anything. That makes no sense at all. I'm pursuing having sex with Erica Alaniak. It doesn't really mean that it's going to come to fruition. It just really means I'm sitting around doing some thinking about it. All right.
So the president is celebrating the 5th anniversary of the war in Iraq today.
Coalition forces carried out that mission with great courage and skill. Today the world is rid of Saddam Hussein, and a tyrant has been held to account for his crimes by his own people.
Yes, Congress must pass legislation to continue to give the president a war with no strings attached.
It can be tempting to look at the challenges in Iraq and conclude our best option is to pack up and go home. That may be satisfying in the short run, but I believe the consequences for American security would be devastating.
Yes, what will be satisfying in the long run is to completely bleed the military dry economically and have a lasting deleterious impact on our fiscal security here at home. That's going to make everybody feel fantastic.
Tony Sow criticizes the Democrats who don't like war.
It is a withdrawal of the troops bill, not a fund the troops bill. It requires the Iraqi government to meet certain conditions or benchmarks. But even if the benchmarks are met, it would require the withdrawal of U.S. troops and forces without regard to whether we're making progress against the enemy.
Snow says even though the polls of Iraqis show they are not seeing any progress, the U.S. must continue to push for democracy.
You're talking about one political poll, one poll that's been taken, there's another. What we do understand is that the most important thing for the Iraqi people is the ability to live in freedom, to enjoy peace, and have the promises of prosperity, and those are the aims of U.S. policy.
And it's working. Rick, I have a full 2 tanks of gas in my truck. Where to meet for the first annual Rick Emerson hippie rundown?
Wouldn't you be better off on a horse?
Seriously. These statements are for satiric purposes only. All right. Let's see. Rick, if you run down a bunch of war protesters, just think of what it would do to the unemployment numbers in Oregon. There'd be much more money to go around. It'd be way easier to park on Hawthorne and by Reed College, by the way. All right, we'll take a break here in a second. It's 503-733-2970. We'll take a break. Back after this, Clyde Lewis coming up later on. Jim Rue, more of Tim Riley. The top five and whatnot. It's 503-733-2970. This email says, Rick, hey, I just checked it out, and on iTunes, Air America's internet radio channel is silent. Oh, blessed, blessed silence. Signed, John. John, it's wrong to laugh at the failings of others. Wrong, I say.
and I won't have it. Don't go anywhere. We continue after this. Here's Oasis. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. 503-733-2970. Before we do anything else,
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except
you're not going to amount.
Scotty, if you could.
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End this message.
All right. Scotty J, our PA, joining us now today in the Rick Emerson Show. Hi, Scotty. How are you?
Great. Good afternoon.
All right. Did you want to share something with us about... Because it would be inappropriate for me to talk about... What was his name?
Our good friend Eugene.
Eugene? Yeah. All right. Because this is another lesson from the playbook of Bruce Agler that you should... One should not speak about... Especially speak ill of callers once the call is done. Do you want to share something that he...
Well, he called back in to... He wanted to let you know that he apologizes profusely, especially for making the Afro-American comment, and that he didn't take you literally for running over people.
Well, no, it's just that... do I have to put a disclaimer at the beginning of the statements made on the Rick Emerson program are satiric in nature, not to be...
and not real.
I'm... Seriously, it's... Nothing on this program is real. Really, if we were to kill the number, if we were to actually kill everybody that we talked about needed killing, you know, there'd be no one left. There'd be nobody left in this city or this country, really, if we just decided for 1 week to be serious about removing all the people that we think need removing for the gene pool, we'd be talking to a real big empty. So, no, the Rick Emerson program in no way advocates, endorses, promotes, or encourages the harming of everybody, because all life is sacred.
He said he was honored that
everything, turn. A time to reap, a time to sow.
And that's a peace song from the 60s, too, and I bet they were Democratic when they sang that. Anyways, that guy...
Anyway, so Eugene was doing...
He just said he was honored that you said you want to talk to him every day, so get ready for it.
So he was... Yeah, great. Bestow my beating heart. So he was apologizing?
Yeah.
What was he apologizing for?
Oh, he just said sometimes he goes off on a rant and
just like liberals. He just calls up, makes a point, and then when someone doesn't like him, he calls back and takes it all back. This is, Eugene, I hate to pick on you now, and I realize now I'm doing this and I'm picking on you when you're not on the air to defend yourself, but really, please, liberals, note Eugene. This is why liberals can never win anything. Just pick a position and say, when is the last time anybody in the Bush administration apologized? If the people in the Bush administration tried to apologize for anything, their mouths would crack. I mean, it's like they wouldn't, their brains would fold in on themselves. I think Republicans are fundamentally, like teachers and cops, are fundamentally incapable of apologizing for anything. Which is sort of why they're so effective at winning things ruthlessly. There you go.
Well, all right.
Just like a liberal. All right. Thank you, Scotty. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We'll rejoin Tim Riley in just a moment. Let's welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show from the Ground Zero Lounge and from Clyde Lewis, groundzeromedia.org. Clyde Lewis. Hello, sir.
Hey, how you doing? Does this mean that if the killing and the advocating of killing is not real, does this mean that little black book that you have where the angel of death or the angel of purification shows up that you'll have those names you'll cross off?
Oh, no, that's real because that's not on the air. That's a book I keep at home.
Yeah, he keeps it silent. I remember that book. We used to always take notes, like when we're in the checkout lane and somebody, you know, gives you the wrong change, you'd write the name down in the book, you'd ask them their name. Or if, you know, if somebody wronged you, you'd write their name down. I mean, you know, I know
that book of people at home that I'm going to kill, that's totally real.
Yeah, that's a good stress reliever. Have your own black book, get your Rick Emerson's little black book, and write down the names of those who have wronged you. And then when the angel of purification appears above the earth and gives you the message that you need to go out and do the bidding of the angel of purification, that is when that book comes in handy.
No, threats of violence made on this program are purely for entertainment and satiric purposes. That book at home, though, those people I'm really going to kill. Every one of them. And it's going to be a slow death.
Oh, yeah. Painful, and agonizing.
Lots of slow, excruciating deaths in that book.
Exactly. And you're going to laugh. then you're gonna cut them, and then you're gonna laugh. That's funny. Anyway.
Oh.
That was very disturbing, wasn't it? That was a disturbing moment. I think
Tim looked afraid.
Tim
had
looked
the best,
afraid there for a moment.
Tim had the best look on his face when you were doing the Ren and Stimpy thing just now.
I should have done it as Ren. I mean,
I'm
going to
hit you.
And you're going to fall.
And I'm going to look down.
And I'm going to laugh.
All right.
Hey, I just want to let you know that I found out from Curtis Lee Fulton that in the movie, The Day Called X is going to be at the Laurelhurst Theater on March 31st at 8:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
You are in it for the first part of the film.
Really?
Yes.
Doing what?
Who knows? But you're in it. And I think I haven't seen it yet, and so if I get a glimpse of it, maybe I'll tell you. But I talked to them on the phone, and I said, I've been talking with Rick about the film, and you say that Rick's in it. What does he do?
He's not using that gay porn that I filmed.
I hope not, because that would be very disturbing. But certainly, you are. You're in the. I think what you do is you basically describe, you know, what you do, and then you describe what I do, and it's kind of like a good setup for the amazingly crazy, strange world of me, which is, you know, kind of the ending. And also, the band The Epoxies are going to be doing the soundtrack. The Epoxies are doing the soundtrack, and that's supposed to be, I guess it's a big thing, because a lot of people are paying attention to that right now, that they're on the soundtrack and stuff, but it's supposed to be a big, big thing. And by the way, they want, Curtis was asking your listeners and my listeners, if they're out there, to go to daycalledx.com, and there it'll redirect them to the Longbow Film Festival entry. That way, if we get a top billing on the film, they'll clear some more time for the film to be shown, which a lot of people have been saying either they're going to be out of town or they're going to be doing something else. I would like a lot of people to see it. It's 50 minutes of your life. It's going to be kind of fun and wacky and strange. And it's back in the days of 2003 when Rick and I were, you know, we're carelessly going about our business, thinking that the whole world was our oyster. And then,
back when we still had the spark of life in our eyes.
Back when we cared. Back when we didn't have our little black books.
Back before the desire to live joyfully had been beaten out of our souls.
Exactly.
Hey, have you seen 300?
No, I want to go see it, but you know what? A lot of people give me this Gladiator movie type look, like, you know, they feel a little, I guess you could say, homoerotic about going to see that show, and he feel kind of weird. And, and so I
almost called you Scotty. Clyde, there's nothing wrong with a little homoeroticism.
Well, it's
a great movie. It really is. I don't think it's quite as good as everybody else has been saying, but it is much better than I expected it to be. I quite liked it.
It was actually some guy in Ebert and Roper last night was obviously kind of flamboyantly gay, and he didn't like the film, so I guess it wasn't as muscular.
So you can't see it ever.
No, I guess if it's not recommended by even the gay community, I don't think I can see it. I don't know. I base all my decisions on the gay community. I really do. If they tell me it's good,
Bruce,
I go.
If Bruce Valanche doesn't like this film, I cannot go.
If Rex Reed doesn't get all turned on by it, I don't go.
Moving
or Charles Nelson Reilly. Huh?
Moving forward, and I saw that, and there's a movie which I did not know was filmed in Portland, but apparently it was. It was filmed in Portland, St. John's, and Estacada, so you know it's got to be good. It's called Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
Oh, yes. A lot of people have been talking about that. Is that a good film?
It's okay. You should definitely see it if you're a fan of slasher films.
Mm.
If you're a fan of the 80s slasher films, it is probably the best deconstruction of American horror films that I've ever seen.
Wow.
I don't really know that it works as a movie, but as sort of an educational piece about the nature, as again, like a deconstruction of American slasher films. It's flawless.
It was interesting. I was talking about this with Aaron the other day. You know, I interviewed a lot when I was doing VLM Magazine, and I was doing a lot of other things back in the days when, you know, the bastards weren't grinding us down into a sticky, meshy pulp. I did an interview with Wes Craven.
Right.
And one of the things he said to me, which is really odd, it kind of led up to the new Nightmare film, is he was saying to himself, he says, what if films, and this is something that I may touch on tonight, who knows what I'm going to touch on tonight, my brain is always out there somewhere, but I was thinking about this the other day. You know, 300 has been showing in theaters now, and people are all, you know, trying to tie it to making the Persian Empire look evil, and that we want to go and take out Iran or whatever, and they're all applying their own politics to it, and Aaron is very angry about that, and I've been talking with him about it. But one of the things that Wes Craven told me, though, is he was saying that what if films are thought flickers, and they're kind of like the butterfly flapping its wings in theaters every day, and people don't realize that what they're doing is they're flashing those thoughts into people's heads. And eventually, if we do it enough, that the reality of the film will transpire in our realities. In other words, you take a look at some films, and I've been talking about this a lot at the lounge lately. You look at Long Kiss Goodnight with Sam Jackson and Gina Davis, actually talked about an attack on the World Trade Center.
Right.
The television show The Lone Gunman, their first episode, 6 months before the World Trade Center attacks, was about a plane that flew into the World Trade Center as a terrorist operation. You look at The Day After Tomorrow that talked about the global warming and the strangeness, and all of a sudden we're seeing all these strange weather patterns going on in the world. And then, of course, 300 now is the film about the Persian Empire, and we're all thinking, oh, my gosh, this is like a precursor. It's going to be precursory to going into Iran. It's going to get people all riled up for it. So it's kind of like, you know, when Craven did The New Nightmare, his idea was, what if Freddy Krueger was real and that he somehow came out of the screen and went into The Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez, because, of course, Ramirez happened after, you know, Freddy Krueger first came out in theaters. And so it's a strange thought that, I mean, and this another thing that prompted this was the idea that you've heard about the honeybees, right? How they're dying off and they have, like, this strange disease in them. Well, in The X-Files, that was something that was happening in that film, where they were carrying the black oil and some of them were dying off and they were spreading this disease, and now we have all these strange diseases that are going around and all this other stuff. Now the bees have this fungus that are killing them off, and Einstein said that if the bees die, we haven't got more than 4 or 5 years on this planet. And it's just a freaky idea, because you see
movies... Roger was always just such a big up.
Well, you see these movies like the Children of Men, where they talk about how, you know, everybody's infertile and they can't have children and all this other stuff. And I'm thinking, what if these things are seeding reality and we don't even realize that they're seeding reality, because we go by what now is the hyper-reality. We go by what is now in the films. And so if we watch films, we can basically gauge our lives like 3 or 4 years down the road by what the film stories are about.
He's available for bar mitzvahs, kids. He's Clyde Lewis.
So that means they have to make better films. You know, more clowns. We need more circus clowns, cartwheeling clowns.
Are you talking about what's going on at the Ground Zero Lounge tonight?
You know, half the time I think Aaron can attest to this and everybody else. Last week I got up there and Dr. Larry Johns got up and he gave away my whole act in the beginning, so I have to basically shoot from the hip. So if I have anything on my mind, you know, there are a lot of things that are on my mind right now. In fact, Sheikh Mohammed basically said that he was going to bomb the Plaza building in Seattle, and he said he was going to be responsible for that, but they didn't establish it until, I think, what was it, 2 years ago or a year ago? So how could he have been, you know, he's confessing to everything now.
I think you should do that. You should start confessing to things. You should confess to, like, kidnapping the Lindbergh baby.
I think I should. I mean, it doesn't. You know, if you give a guy and you waterboard him enough, he'll confess to, you know, gassing the Jews. He'll confess to canceling West Wing. You know, he's responsible for all those great shows being canceled. Oh, by the way, did you see the Zodiac yet?
The Zodiac. Yes, I did.
Did you see the boardroom scene? They ripped it off from Remote Control, I swear.
Oh, yeah, it was sort of a truncated. It was a truncated version of Remote Control. I did
it. It was
that.
Exactly. We were sitting there watching, yeah. And everybody looked at me and they go, that's Remote Control.
No, it's a truncated version of Remote Control.
Yeah, it was kind of truncated version of Remote Control with the Zodiac.
Everything Fincher does, I did first.
Yeah, they were in the Chronicle and they're all sitting there, you know, saying, well, what if, you know, and they're all talking and I'm thinking, gosh, where have we seen this before?
Totally.
So it was amazing the way that happened. But yeah, a reminder to everybody, it's going to be March 31st, Laurelhurst Theater. The show is called The Day Called X. It's going to start at 8:30. I think it's going with a film called Thunder Hill. But I'd like for everybody to go to daycalledx.com or go to the Longbow Film Festival and look it up. And just go there and visit, see the preview. The preview is quite hilarious.
Excellent.
And I think you're really going to enjoy this. So I know a lot of people are going to come out, and we're going to make a big deal out of it. I'd like you to come out too, Rick. Bring Sarah. Bring Tim. Bring everybody.
It's
kind of a fun look at what was going on at the other station when we were there. So.
All right. It's Clyde Lewis, Ground Zero Media. .org and then the Ground Zero Lounge tonight at 8 o'clock. Thank you, my friend.
8 o'clock. You bet.
See you, brother. There you go. Clyde Lewis, ladies and gentlemen. All right. 503-733-2970. So much to work with in that call. I just don't know what's going on in that guy's head sometimes. All right.
I like how it's a crapshoot when he comes on.
Sometimes he's crazy. Sometimes he's great. Sometimes he's a mixture of the two. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
It says here again, an up close and personal look at talk show host Clyde Lewis, whose program Ground Zero Radio has built a loyal following of paranormals and conspiracy theorists. Meet Lewis and his colleagues, and include fellow radio personality Rick Emerson, Kulin the karaoke Klingon, and former Miss Nude Oregon. That's Laurel Hurst. 8:30 p.m. Saturday.
Yep. Is the former Miss Nude, or
that's
is
gotta
that
be Betsy?
Betsy?
That has to be her.
Oh, she doesn't have a name.
Nude girl.
I just see a woman
and
with
boobs.
A woman with stilettos sitting in the back of the car.
All right.
And Clyde Lewis at the old Fisher Studios. Mom, he's wearing a suit and a tie.
What?
He looks like a religious fellow. Oh, you just missed it.
It's Clyde Lewis plus a pair of breasts. So.
Oh, I'll go see that just to see what part you play in it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's not that it's like all about me, but I'm going to have to go just so I can see what I do. I don't even remember being filmed for this movie, so I have no idea what
apparently
I'm doing.
Apparently there's a trailer, too.
All right. Greg, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hi, how you doing, Rick?
What's up?
I've got something I think you might enjoy. One of these days when I'm king or mayor or something fun like that, I'm going to try and implement a permit process for offing people. Now, the permit will never actually be something you receive. It's just a process. You get to pay a fee, say $25. And if you don't like your boss today and you really wish that you could just be granted a legal permit to put one between his eyes, then you'd go and pay your fee. The money would go into the tax pool or, I don't know, into the school district fund or something like that. And then it would be posted on a public web page for everybody to see.
So this is like a marijuana tax stamp.
It's like a marijuana tax stamp, except it's a permit you can apply for to off people.
You just can't use it.
You'll never receive the permit. It'll just show that you've applied for it and you've paid your fee. And everybody will know that you will never receive this permit. It's just to kind of to make you feel better, and it's another way to generate tax. Kind of like the lottery.
A little stress reliever.
A little stress reliever. And if you're that boss, every once in a while you can check that website to see how many times your employees paid the fee to apply.
I like the way you think, sir.
All right. Yes, good day.
Thank you. There you go. Rick Emerson Show values all human life. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, what's Hillary Clinton up to, you ask? Well, she criticized the president's handling of Iraq, and amid a weekend of nationwide protests, marked the fourth anniversary of the war.
If he doesn't begin to extricate us from Iraq by the end of his term as president, I will. I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far.
Well, her husband served as master of ceremonies with his campaign fundraiser in Midtown Manhattan.
We met... I'm going to embarrass her now. 36 years
ago. Yes, you're going to embarrass her now?
Yes.
No. I think those receptors may be all burned out inside Hillary's brain. Yeah.
Yes, he spoke to Hillary's sense of commitment with a confession from the past.
I tried to convince Hillary to leave me after we worked together in the 72 campaign. And she the said,
jokes right themselves.
She said, "Don't you like me anymore?"
I don't even know where to go with
that.
Oh, good God. Don't you get the feeling he could just set her on fire and she wouldn't leave him? I mean, really. Honestly, truly, at this point, God bless her, but all right. Hey, have we all seen that Hillary Clinton-Obama thing that's going around?
No, not to my knowledge.
Oh, my friend. I meant to ask Lisa Goddard about it.
What kind of thing?
I got sidetracked talking about the fact that no one in her district can read and they all have guns illegally. There is this homegrown campaign video that is going around the net. I don't know about this. Do you remember the Apple Macintosh commercial for the 1984 Macintosh commercial?
Yes.
Not entirely.
With the girl running into the thing.
It's the most famous TV commercial of all time, probably.
Yeah.
It only aired once during the Super Bowl in 1984, I guess. Yeah, I'm assuming January. Was it for 83, for 84, or was it 84? Anyway, but I think it was January of 1984 that it aired. It was either that or 83. But it was... It was a takeoff on 1984 of a big, the Orwellian future. And there's a bunch of drones sitting in a chair and they're watching Big Brother on the screen, except Big Brother, instead of talking about Oceania, Big Brother is talking about the glories of the personal computer revolution. And, Big Brother is clearly supposed to be IBM. And then a woman runs in. And she's brightly colored, she's very young and attractive, and she runs in and she throws a huge, like, hammer into the screen, smashes it, and then it says, on, I think, January 24th, 1984, Apple Computer will release the Macintosh, and you'll see why 1984 won't be like 1984, blah, blah, blah. Most famous commercial of all time. So there is now a mashup of that going around. It's phenomenally well done, by the way, where instead of Big Brother's face on the screen, it's Hillary Clinton. And it's her, and it's real actual video of her that they have processed. Some guy, and it's homemade. Some guy has processed it. So Hillary is on the screen in black and white, and she's just giving a bunch of really monotonous, tedious political sound bites. Same thing. The woman comes in. She runs down the aisle. She throws the hammer. She smashes it. And then at the end, it says, on, you know, blah, 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 2007, the Democratic primaries will begin, and you'll see why 1984 won't be like 1984. And then it says, BarackObama.com. Wow. It's amazing. Gives me chills just to think about
it. Oh, here it is.
But here's the thing, though. And it's on Drudge, I think. It's on DrudgeReport.com. Here's the thing. It is not from Barack's campaign. It's like some guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a homemade commercial. So they say. Mm-hmm. They claim
it's... Of course they'd say that.
Yeah, but I mean... I don't know whether it is or it isn't, but it's an amazingly well-done commercial. And it's just, you could very easily do this. Do you have the audio?
Here we go.
Let's
go.
This is Hillary's voice.
I'm looking at how you and other people...
So this is Hillary as Big Brother speaking.
And I've really been impressed by how serious people are.
And here's the woman running down with the hammer. And there's all the drones in the chair.
I don't want people who already agree with me. I want honest, serious, hardworking, patriotic people who want to be part of a team, the American team. I hope you've learned a little bit more about what I'm believing and trying to do and really help this conversation about our country get started.
And there's the hammer smashing the Big Brother screen. This is on YouTube right now. You put in, like, Hillary 1984.
On January 14th, the Democratic primary will begin. And you'll see why 2008 won't be like 1984.
And then it says, has an O like the Apple logo, and then it says BarackObama.com. It's an amazing TV commercial. How did you find that? What did you search for?
I just went to, it was on Drudge.
Yes, you go to DrudgeReport.com. It's on the middle left-hand side, I think. You'll see this. And it apparently is homemade. The Barack campaign, and I believe them, they claim that they have nothing to do with it. And I think that guy's too smart to lie. I think that Barack is too smart to have anything to do with this act.
438,795 views.
Yep. Well, that's the power of Drudge, is what that is. So I believe the
comments, 1,953, favorites 883 times. It's only been on 10 hours.
It's a fantastic commercial. It's amazingly well done. And it's pretty devastating, actually. You see that, and it's hard to look at Hillary the same way. I mean, it's a really well done spot. So anyway. I meant to ask Lisa Goddard about that, but I'll do that tomorrow. So, all right, yeah, if you get a chance, go see that. It's pretty amazing. Let's do a couple more here, and then we'll take a break. Come back with Jim Roop.
Well, it's a dirty job, but Naomi Campbell has to do it. Today is the first day of her 5-day court-ordered community service stint. She showed up this morning at a New York sanitation department in a fancy crop jacket and red stiletto heels, with her work boots slung over her shoulder. The sanitation department's Albert Durrell says Campbell will be getting her hands dirty.
She will be sweeping, cleaning, mopping. We have windows that need to be cleaned.
Meanwhile, dozens of South Floridians and their pets are competing for a chance to appear on the David Letterman Show. The competition held at Miami-Dade County Youth Fair in West Miami was a chance to appear on Stupid Pet Tricks. Representatives of the Letterman Show are on hand to judge. One of the contestants, Lee Marks, is proud of what his dog Jasmine can do.
Well, Jasmine runs out, rain or shine or hurricane, and gets the newspapers from the front. She gets the Miami Herald. We get two newspapers. One's in yellow, one's in blue. And we tell her to go out and get the Herald. She brings back the yellow one. And we tell her to go get the other one. She brings back the New York Times.
There's even a parrot who can lick the filling from an Oreo cookie without eating the shell.
I love this country. This country, this is why I don't care about war protesters, because I've got parrots who can lick Oreo fillings out. That's what it is, man. That's the kind of things I like. Can anybody's pet do anything stupid but amusing? Sarah?
I don't know. Muppet's just all around entertaining. I don't know.
Max just drools. He didn't do anything. He just drools and pees on things. Tim?
No, my dogs don't do anything.
All right, there you go. Rick, that Air America guy. He needs a daily spot like Scotty J, or he could alternate with Scotty J. His segment would be called, "Oh, did I hurt your feelings? I take it all back."
Rick@rickemerson.com. Let's see. Rick, I believe we have the same feelings towards these damn hippies. They're ridiculous, noxious dumbasses who obviously have no money. If they had two brain cells to rub together, they could either drive to Salem and protest at the state government or spend a few hundred of their dollars and go protest in D.C. where decisions are made. Are there Multnomah County judges ruling in favor of the war? Are they winning anyone on the anti-war side with their annoying presence in places that I need to drive through? Blah, blah, blah. P.S. Eugene was a tool. I'm sorry, Eugene. That does not represent the opinion of the Rick Emerson Show. You can see sturgeon at the fish hatchery at the Bonneville Dam. One is that's true. That's where you damn they have those sturgeon, except for some a-hole kids who broke in and who vandalizes a sturgeon? What waste of oxygen goes in and vandalizes a fish? I mean, that just seems stupid. They went and they spray painted a sturgeon a couple years ago. And it just seems like, of all the things you could vandalize, why would you drive out of your way, sneak into a park to spray paint like an anarchy symbol on a sturgeon? It just doesn't make any sense. That just seems stupid. Well, in any event, let's do one more, then we'll break. We'll come back with James Roop from Los Angeles.
Well, I know we're all thinking about the Pussycat Dolls today.
More than anything.
They search for the next doll. Last week, 20-year-old Brittany was eliminated from the competition. The aspiring singer and dancer says she's not sure what she did wrong, but has high hopes for the future.
We all thought, okay, well, I'm sure we could go further, but then again, we all kind of messed up somewhere, you know what I mean? So, I wish that I would have stayed a little bit longer. It kind of sucked that I was the first to go, but, you know, it's all right, because look at Jennifer Hudson, you know what I mean?
Let's not look at Jennifer Hudson.
Oh, man, that girl's annoying.
Well, Brittany said the show didn't portray the way she really is.
Yeah.
They're mostly, you know, trained dancers, and I've been classically trained since I was a little girl, and I've had, you know, been training in musical theater. I went to an art school and stuff like that growing up. So, you know, I thought I had, you know, the proper training for it and the good attitude.
To be a pussycat doll?
Yeah.
By proper training, don't you just mean having huge boobs? Isn't that really what it's all, isn't that the thing? I mean, they don't really do anything, do they? Do the Pussycat Dolls sing?
Yeah.
I mean,
they sing that Don'tcha song.
I know, but I mean,
Don'tcha.
I'm not saying that they have songs that have been released. I'm saying, do they really sing?
I don't know.
They don't really.
Does anyone really sing?
No.
Is that any of those little, like, pop people?
No. That's true.
No.
Everything sucks.
No.
All right. It's 503-733. Everything is useless. Everything is useless and without worth. 503-733-2970 for Rick Emerson Show. Back after this, Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Later on, more from Tim Riley, a top five from Scotty J. Oh, and I got to try this Fusion Gillette razor. This razor that comes with a battery. Because I didn't shave. I deliberately did not shave again. So I got to quit squinting on my lack of facial hair.
It's just sad.
You actually have more facial hair than I do.
I've got an appropriate amount of manly stubble. Dick. All right, back after this, here's Chick's Dick at the Rick Emerson Show.